Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. Okay. So let's go for it. Sacrament of Confirmation. That's what you're waiting for. Picture, you see, the confirmation, the man standing up with the funny hat on his head is the bishop. The man with the hat is called the mitre. Big stick, that's called the crozier. And he's anointing those two little children. And behind them are their godparents. And above you can see a bird. That bird is the dove, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Pretty good picture. Picture of is more than 1,000 words, they say, right? The sacrament of confirmation is very relevant to most high school students as well as eighth graders. As many as them have either just received or soon will be receiving it. Confirmation. Confirmation comes at a unique time in the lives of the students. It takes place generally at the time when the pressure of teen society hits, for the expression peer pressure, right? You hear the expression peer pressure? What's that mean?
Is that when people pressure you into doing something that you know you shouldn't?
Perfect, yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, some of the students will only be confirmed because their parents require them to. They won't be able to experience the sacrament as a celebration on the level that they should. Is that your case? You're coming here because you're forced, and you're going to be confirmed because your parents are. You got a pistol and a gun against you. No? I don't think this group. I mean, I think a couple of my students yesterday and Wednesday, maybe they're pressured. But we hope by next year they'll be ready to receive the sacrament. It's really if you come you're just forced to come, sacrament is not going to have too much effect upon you. You have to really want to receive this sacrament. Okay, so many confirmation programs require service hours. As a required component, for many service hours mean just being nice. Very often, the idea of serving others as a means to conversion gets lost along the way. Those who are in programs that demand service hours need to be told that they are doing this to model the love of Jesus to others who need to see his love demonstrated by being Christians. Okay, next to Christians, I'd like you to write in parentheses, a biblical passage that hopefully you'll memorize. It's Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, there are three parts. There's a parable of the wise and foolish virgins, parable of the talents. There's a parable of the Last Judgment, where the shepherd is going to separate the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. Do you know that passage? Jesus is going to say to those on his right, come to my Father. Come to the home prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was hungry and you gave me to eat. Thirsty and you gave me to naked and you foreigner and you sick and in prison and you. And you'll say, when, Lord, did I see you hungry and thirsty and naked and a foreigner, sick and in prison? And you'll say, whenever you did it to least of my brothers, then you did it to me. And you'll say, welcome home. But then on his left, the sheep, get out of my presence into the hellfire prepared for you and the devil. Because I was hungry and you did not give me to thirsty and you did not give me to. I was naked and you did not. I was a foreigner and you did not. I was sick and in prison, you didn't come to. And they say, when, Lord, whenever you failed to do it to the least of my brothers or sisters, you failed to do it to me. So the final exam on the day of judgment is Matthew chapter 25. Hopefully you'll be able to pass the final exam by the way you live. I'll give you an example. Maybe I've used this before, but I think it's still applicable for you as you get ready for your confirmation eventually. Okay, you're invited to go and visit a nursing home. Have you ever been in a nursing home, any of you? And there's a 93-year-old lady. She's a widow. And her children, she's got 5 children, but they don't come to visit her. And she's got Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. She's a Catholic. And you go into the room, and it's not a very good nursing home. It smells of urine. You know, she was my graphic description. Her hair is disheveled. She's overweight. She's got bad breath, too. Not very attractive. She drools. You know what that means? Water comes out. And you're sitting next to her for a half hour. There's a bad smell from the room as well as the woman. And you sit next to her for half an hour and she repeats the same story every 2.5 minutes. The same story. Every time you hear the story, you have a big smile on your face. Abuelita, that's a great story. And every time you hear it, your smile is even bigger. And you leave her, the whole week she's happy because of that half hour visit. She dies. Now, when you die and you're being judged, guess who Jesus is going to appear like? You're going to see this old lady who's really Jesus. And you're going to say, well, what are you doing here? And the lady's going to say, I'm Jesus Christ. You talked to me. You listened to me. You brought me a glass of water. You brought me my food. You encouraged me. You smiled at me. Right, Indy? Isn't that the way it's going to be? Yeah. So Jesus is going to, he's going to appear maybe different than you expect. He's going to appear in those who we serve or maybe those who we failed to serve. So confirmation is a sacrament in which you're called to go out of yourself to serve others. Mother Teresa said this. Aisha, how's your Spanish? Pretty good? Translate this one. Mother Teresa. Aquel que no vive para servir, no sirve para vivir. A good one, huh? I'll say it again. Quel que no vive para servir, no serve para vivir. Quel que no vive para servir, okay, no serve para vivir. It's a good one-liner. Gabriel? Yeah, or even deserve to live. Yeah, it's kind of hard to translate the last part, but it's a great one-liner, and it means that we have to learn how to serve. So if we're serving others, we're really serving Christ. Right, Tony? You agree with that? Good. So as we get close to confirmation again next year, you're going to have to do holy hours as well as service hours. And you can be creative, you know. You can be creative. You could go to a nursing home, you know, maybe with your mom and dad. Maybe go to a hospital. Maybe go and visit someone that's abandoned. Maybe it'd help in a soup kitchen. You can help out here. But the whole concept of confirmation is we got to go out of ourselves to serve others. You know, to go out of ourselves, our own comfort zone, you know, the lioness holds under that little blanket of the security blanket. We got to leave that and be willing to serve others. Right, Allison? Good. So let's move. Many Catholic students have had very little personal formation. Have you ever read Mark chapter 17? What? Okay, I just proved the point. It says many a little personal formation, okay? There's only 16 chapters in Mark, so I just wanted to prove the point, okay? So we have to keep studying our faith more, right? Emily, could you tell me the 11th commandment? It's ignorance, right? So here we're here these 2 years to really try to get to know at least the basics of our faith. And I was always impressed when Pope Benedict would go on vacation, he'd bring a duffel bag filled with books. Is he well-educated, Pope Benedict? You've heard of Pope Benedict? Probably one of the most intelligent popes in the history of the Catholic Church. He's still living. He celebrated his 91st birthday, I think it was about a couple weeks ago, no? You think this guy, he's a genius, he's brilliant, he's a scholar, why would he have to be bringing these books? Because he recognized he still has to learn too. What about us, pobrecitos, right? Right, Aisha? Yeah, we have to keep learning, right? When it comes to standing up for Jesus, they resemble the frightened members of the early church. What does that mean? What happened on Good Friday? Where were the good friends of Jesus Christ? They're all underneath the cross, ready to be crucified. There's only one. Who's that, Tony? Yep. With who else? And who else? Where are the other apostles? They're hiding, weren't they? Yeah. They're afraid. They're afraid that maybe what happened to Jesus would happen to them. So they took for the hills. We might fall into that also when we're placed in a situation where we have to defend our faith. We might buckle under pressure. A friend of mine, your mother was able to buy me Formed, which is a really good app. And I started to watch just two minutes of one of the movies. And it was Joan of Arc. Did you see Joan of Arc, any of you? Yeah. And the preview shows this girl, she's about 15. And they show her standing on a platform when they got torches. You know how she died? How? Burnt at the stake. She's only about maybe 16, 17 years old. Do you know she was called to do, Emily? She's called to be the general-in-chief of the French army to beat the strongest army in the world, which was the English army. She never went to West Point. Ever hear West Point? Do you know what West Point is, Lauren? So that's where the best, what? Yeah, maybe in the world. You know, probably the best military academy in the United States, if not the whole world, is West Point. So she didn't go to West Point. She didn't even know how to read and write. You know what the first thing she did when she was called to be commander-in-chief of the soldiers? You know what she said the first thing? Get the prostitutes out of here. Get them out. Because you had a lot of prostitutes with the guys, no? Out. And all you got to go to confession. Get sin out of here. Get in the state of grace, and we're going to win the battle. And the French beat the English. And they called her a witch. Remember? They said, "You're the witch of Orleans." And there she was. And when she was being burnt, they said, "We are not burning a witch, we're burning a saint. Saint Joan of Arc." They asked her a very tricky question. It shows the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you in the state of grace? Remember that? We have no absolute moral certitude, Aisha, that we are in the state of grace. We hope we are. There are signs that we're in the state of grace. You know what she said, Aisha? Another good one-liner. Lauren? Not, yeah, you're kind of heavy. Okay, go ahead, Matthew.
I forgot.
Trace?
If I'm not
Right? You got it exactly. Yeah. Say it again. If I'm not. May God. If I am? Yeah. I mean, where did that come from? She never studied theology. Where did they come from? The Holy Spirit, yeah. You know, one of the greatest writers in the American language is, his name is Mark Twain. Have all of you read the works of Mark Twain? Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. Have you read? You know what his greatest work was, though, Mark Twain? His real name is Samuel Clemens. So his real name is that. Just a little bit of trivia there. His greatest work, Matthew, Mark Twain, was St. Joan of Arc. Do you know that? Yeah. The others Mark Twain just wrote quickly like this. But Joan of Arc he wrote another time. He wasn't even a Christian, but he was so impressed by the holiness of this teenage girl that he went to France, investigated, put it together. It turned out to be one of the greatest novels, not fiction, but nonfiction, in American literature, by one of the greatest writers of a Catholic saint, Joan of Arc. The next time you go to Philadelphia, which you're going to be going next week, you're going to see downtown Philadelphia, which is, you know, basically kind of a secular city, a girl on a golden horse with a flag, and that is Joan of Arc, right in the middle of Philadelphia. She's the patron saint of France. French is Saint-Jean d'Arc, Saint Joan of Arc. So hopefully we'll become like this great saint. Maybe we won't be die being burnt at the stake, but we have to be strong today. Stand up for the truth. Okay, this perfecting of the grace of, right here, right? Of, Louise, what do you think? Confirmation perfects the grace of baptism. Arrives at just the right time. They must be impressed with the fact that Christ will see them safely through the temptations of teen years if they just place their trust in Him. Their soldiering for Christ will not be easy. There will be no quick martyr's death for them. As a result of the effects of today's culture, it will be more like being sliced up day by day, piece by piece. Do you know how the apostles died? And you know? Old age? One of them, yes. Martyr. How did St. Peter die? What? How about St. James? How about St. Andrew? What's that? Yeah, in the form of an X, he was roped because you could be crucified with nails, and usually that would be quick because the blood would come out. Then you'd be roped. See, he was on the cross for about 3 days, roped. And how would he die would be of suffocation. Have any of you been to Rome, the Vatican? Did you ever notice in the very top there's these big white statues on the top? You can see John Bosco there. You can see there's an apostle there. Gabriel, that has, it looks like it's kind of like a scroll. It's like a long, thin, looks almost like a rag. Know who that is? You were there. It's St. Bartholomew or St. Nathaniel. Now, how he died? He was flayed alive. I mean, they peeled him like a potato alive. Then he did. But he didn't die, so they chopped his head off. Hmm? Would you like to die that way? Hmm. Like to die choking on a hamburger, that'd be better, huh? Prefer that way? Okay. Well, it kind of scares you, right, Frida?
Yeah.
But don't you see the strength of God in that?
Yeah.
Some of you maybe saw the movie of the Apostle Paul. Any of you see it? You like it? How did Paul die? The very end. You see it at the very end. Yeah. How about the early Christian martyrs with Aquila and Priscilla? How were they? How were they killed? Burned or what else?
Stone.
But also another way. You know the Colosseum was. That would be. How did some of them die? And why did Nero do that? You know why? The film points it out, right, Tony? Did you see the film?
Yeah.
Okay, Nero, there was a fire in Rome, which destroyed a good part of Rome. And Nero sought a scapegoat to blame, and guess who? The Christians. And the ringleader was St. Paul. So they'd be sent to the lions. And the lions are basically, you know what they do, not to pet them. The lions would eat them alive. No? Remember the scene, Tony? They're about to go, and St. Luke says, you're going to suffer a lot. It's going to be short, and you're going to be with God in heaven. Remember that? That was my favorite scene. Suffer is going to be short, though. The lions, they'll devour you. It's just going to take a minute, maybe less. And then where are you going to be? In heaven for all eternity. It's worth it, isn't it? I've often thought about, well, think about being in hell for all eternity.
Uh-uh.
Well, that's a possibility, right? You know, you suffer for 1 minute here, then you're in heaven. Or you just enjoy your life with pleasure and committing a lot of sins, die in mortal sin, you go to hell for all eternity. What a contrast, right? And hell is forever, too. Heaven's forever, but hell's forever. We want to avoid that, right, Allison? Okay, confirmation is the sacrament of soldiering for Jesus Christ. You have a military background. You probably know what boot camp is. What boot camp? So a lot of exercise, right? Okay. Also, sometimes they send you out there without anything to eat, maybe in the woods for a couple of days, no? With a knapsack, and you got to tough it out. Because if you're a soldier, that might happen, right? So this class is about spiritual boot camp. We got to prepare ourselves to fight for Christ. Physical strength is important, but spiritual strength is even more important. Men and women are called to stand up and fight for the teachings of Christ, especially for purity, charity, and poverty of spirit. Purity, I think you know what that is, but how about charity? Have you ever... you know what the word charity means? What does that mean? Okay, good. So there's a double commandment, loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then loving our neighbor. Okay? And poverty of spirit means this: we shouldn't be attached to things. Too much attached to material things. When we're going and buying a lot of things, that can suffocate us. No? Be happy with living a frugal life, a detached life, like the saints. And the more you have, the more you want. You're never happy. Live with less. In this society, we tend to want to buy and buy and buy, and shop until you drop. Shouldn't be the way, no? Shop until you drop. Okay, then at the very end it says, you shall receive power when the Holy comes upon you. You shall be witnesses for me. What was the first and most powerful novena in the history of the Catholic Church? Any of you know? Tony. Okay, so it was preceded by 9 days and nine nights in the upper room with Mary and who else? The apostles, and then what happened after 9 days? Fire came down on who? On their heads, and what else? Was there a... like a wind, almost like an earthquake that shook the house? Were they changed afterward? Yeah. So you see, Peter, before Pentecost, denied our Lord 3 times. Then after the Holy Spirit comes down, Peter gets up, and he preaches a homily and converts 3,000 people in one homily. Powerful, huh? Tabitha was dead. Did we read that story? And they called Peter to go in. Tabitha was lying in the bed, this young woman, and she was dead. They're crying. They told Peter to come in. And Peter went into the room and took Tabitha by the hand and said, Tabitha, get up. She got up and she started to walk. So Peter actually rose people from the dead. And people, if they would be walking only in the shadow of Peter, that would heal them. Jesus never even did that, did he? No. So if they walk in the shadow of Peter, these people would be healed. So Jesus said, you'll do more powerful things than I actually did. But that was after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, maybe one day you can write a doctoral thesis on the pre-Pentecost Peter and the post-Pentecost Peter and make $500,000 and sell it. Okay? I haven't read that book yet, so maybe you write it, you'll get the dividends, okay? Give some of it to St. Peter Snow to help out the poor program, okay? That'd be an interesting thesis, Lauren, maybe you can work on it, no? The pre-Pentecost Peter and the post-Pentecost Peter. No? And your assessor can be your aunt, Inda, okay? Encourage her, okay? Because there's a radical, it's the same person, but he's really changed within, right? Once the Holy Spirit just descends upon him, he's so different. I mean, did Peter go get a doctorate from the University of Galilee? You may read his writings, they're very eloquent. As the morning star rises in your hearts. It's not like Shakespeare. Peter wrote that. Cleverly concocted myths. This is that rough fisherman writing in very, very refined English. Well, it would have been Aramaic, no? Because of the Holy Spirit descend upon him. Okay, the celebrating the rite, that doesn't mean the rite, you know, the exorcism. Maybe you saw that movie, no? In the early church, the three sacraments of initiation were all given together. Those who were joined in the church were first members, and there was time for the bishops to administer all three. As the church grew, the demands on the bishops increased, so priests were ordained to help them. The priests were only able to administer the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist, while the bishops were required for confirmation. Because of this, the sacraments were eventually received at separate times. Since the Second Vatican Council, the Church has mandated confirmation be celebrated during the Eucharist where possible. In the event the bishop is unable to confirm all those seeking the sacrament, he may delegate a priest to do it. You know, India, good news, this lady told me that well, her husband is dying. He's going to die in a short time. And she's from, I think she's from Colombia. And her husband is an American. They got married in the church. But the guy has no sacraments. So I got news that the husband wants to be baptized. So Teresa is looking into it now. I'm going to try to go to the nursing home to baptize him, give him his confirmation, and give his first communion before he dies. What do you think? Yep. So say a prayer that we'll be able to get to him before he passes away. No? The beautiful story. So we're waiting upon to find out when the godparent's going to arrive, where he is, and when he'll be able to visit him. And basically go through the basics of the creed so he accepts that Jesus Christ is God. He's sorry for his sins. Believes in the Holy Spirit, and they'll be able to baptize him, and I'll be able to confirm him, even though I'm not a bishop. And I'll be able to give him the anointing of the sick, and I'll be able to give him Holy Communion. So I'll be able to give him four sacraments for one. How about that? Hmm? And if he dies, baptism, what does that do? Washes all the sins away. Beautiful stories. Hmm? So, say a prayer that we'll be able to, everything will fall into place. I don't even know what nursing home he's in, but as soon as we find out, probably sometime in the weekend, I'll find some time to be able to do that. No? How good God is, no? All those sins will be washed away. Like Divine Mercy Sunday, the guy dies. Like a skyrocket goes right through the clouds, huh? You know, firecrackers, right up there. It happens at times. It's like the good thief. No? Good thief lived a pretty bad life, but at the very end he told God he was sorry. Jesus said, "Amen, today you'll be with me in paradise." No? He died a thief because he stole heaven, right? Okay, who can receive confirmation? Every baptized person can and should receive this sacrament, including adults, infants, and children who are in danger of death. It completes their initiation into the church. In the Eastern Church, the original custom of performing the sacraments of initiation soon after birth is still followed. In the Western Church, canon law states that those who have reached the age of reason may receive the sacrament. At the same time, however, the local bishop is given discretion. Okay, requirements for reception. So this is not written on this sheet, but let's talk a little bit about it. I'm going to go outside the box now. All of you are going to have to get a godparent, right? So the most important thing of a godparent is that he has to have a lot of money, right?
No.
The more money, the better, right? Because he can buy you a new bike, a new computer, no? Maybe a down payment on your first car. A lot of people think, you know, the more money is, the better the padrino, huh? Also, I think it's more in the Latina culture that the godparent has to be a relative. I think it's because, at least in my culture, the Anglo culture, it doesn't really matter. I don't know about the Vietnamese culture, but it has to be like an uncle, has to be maybe an older brother, maybe has to be maybe a cousin that's maybe in his 20s. No? Not to say that's wrong. No? But that's not the ultimate criteria that he has to be your aunt. Okay? What other conditions?
Can it be
a Protestant or maybe maybe a Jehovah's Witness?
No, the first one needs to be in grace.
Okay, it has to be in the state of grace. Okay.
And he needs to pray for you.
Basically. Okay, pray for you. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, you got a couple of them. Okay, to race. Okay, be practiced in the faith, going to Mass on Sunday. Good, yeah. What were you going to say? I think you got it. Were you going to say that? What were you going to say? Okay, have to be Catholic. Aisha? To help out if your parents are not there, right? But also, you forgot to specify what are the sacraments that this person should have received? Baptism? Is that it? Just baptism good enough? Communion? And what else? Confirmation. These are called the sacraments of what? We'll learn that today. Sacraments of initiation. So he doesn't have baptism, communion, confirmation, and has to be 16 years of age. Yes?
Isn't that person need to be confessed to? Because they can't be your godparent, like your sponsor, if they have sin.
Right. Right. And that's where we're heading at, is the being in the state of grace. But how about this? Person has baptism, communion, confirmation, and maybe it's an aunt of yours. But your aunt is living with her boyfriend, not married in the church. What do you think? Why not? Are you discriminating against aunts? Why not? What type of example is it? Setting a bad example, because that person can't go to confession and communion, right? So the day of the confirmation just goes up there and maybe receives a blessing, and then that's it. You have something to say? Living the state of mortal sin. So we've had cases where they choose someone and they don't receive communion the day of the confirmation. So 16, baptism, communion, confirmation, not living with boyfriend or girlfriend, married in the church or single, practicing Catholic, having made the confession. And trying to support you by praying for you and giving you a good example. Do you all have your godfather or godmother for baptism, right? Do you have any contact with them? No, it could be the same person if you want. Okay? You can choose the same person if you want. I think it's better, you know, better to have one for baptism, another one for confirmation. You know? Then also you have to choose a name. What type of name? A saint's name. How about the name of someone like a telenovela? Just get one of those, or kind of one of a rock star name, or maybe a flower on the top of some mountain in Africa. No, one of those kind of exotic, poetic names. No, no, it should be the name of a saint. I think one of the best Matthew would be Joseph. What do you think? Is that a good name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Joseph is a great name. And for girls, I maybe I'm partial. If I were a girl, I'd choose one in honor of the Blessed Mother. Maria, o Lourdes, o Fatima, Guadalupe, Maria Guadalupe, Guadalupe Maria, o, I mean, Concepcion. O, I mean, I just feel, I mean, Mary's, you can't go beyond Mary. She's the queen of all the saints. Or maybe like Maria Catalina, you know, Catalina Maria. You can maybe do a mixture, no? Monica Maria, Maria Monica, Maria Elena. Okay. I mean, you can choose one, but if I were a girl, I'd want the best. You can't go beyond the Blessed Mother, can you? No. Yeah.
What's the saint name that most people choose?
Good question. Over the past few years, we have a lot. Santa Faustina. Yeah. Saint John Bosco. Saint Peter. I would say also very common is John Paul II. They like him. Teresa. Teresa's pretty famous. And Maria Teresa. Teresa of Calcutta is another famous one. Maria Goretti, they'll choose that one for girls. Joseph Francis, like Francis of Assisi, Francis Xavier, that's another one. For the Mexicans, they like Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio, the little boy that was killed. Maybe saw the movie For the Greater Glory. They choose that one pretty often. Matthew is a pretty common one also. Yeah, well, you got time, but it'd be a good idea to choose it as soon as possible. You can maybe start to read up on this saint and get to know who this saint is. Joan of Arc, no? St. Joan of Arc, a great saint. Mm-hmm. Louis is a good one, St. Louis of France, no? Yeah.
Can you have the saint name, but like in Spanish?
Oh, you can choose it in Spanish, yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, you might prefer in Spanish, yeah. You got to understand Spanish, too. God is bilingual. Huh? He's a polyglot. Huh? He knows many languages. Huh? Or Gabriel. Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael, the three angels. Yeah, the Archangel Gabriel. Raphael is the other one. St. Michael, the Archangel. And I really like my older brother's name. Michael Joseph, I think that's the best. It's nice, isn't it? St. Michael the Archangel, St. Joseph. Might be better Joseph Michael. Well, they're still good, right? Or Max, your brother. Maximilian Kolbe, that's pretty common. If you've got Irish blood, you know, you can be St. Patrick or Patricia, right? Now, Patricia would be the feminine of Patrick, right? Okay, so getting back to your point that you're making, Frieda, it's related to what you said. Sacraments of confirmation, Eucharist, anointing the sick, holy orders, and matrimony are called the sacraments of the... sacraments of the living. It's what you're saying, if you commit a mortal sin, you got to go to confession before. Now, at first, I didn't really kind of like when people would come up to communion and go like this. Now I think it's a good idea. Why?
Because now they know that they're not in great sin.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you committed the mortal sin, whatever it might be, you have to first go to confession. Maybe you didn't have enough time to go to confession. Okay, why don't you just go up like this? You'll get a blessing and then hit the confessional and then... as soon as possible, go back to communion. So now I see the wisdom of it. At first, I came up like this. I wanted to kind of go like this, hit him over the head. Okay, no? Give my own martillazo. No? I don't want to give you my blessing. I want to give you the bread of life, much better. But you know, if you do commit a mortal sin, make sure you don't receive communion. You go up, get the blessing. Yeah, the problem is this. Oh, I don't want my... if I do that, I don't want my mother going to say, why didn't you receive Holy Communion? No. What do you mean by doing that? No. Now, you know, your mother can't violate your conscience, no? Between you and God and your confessor. And, you know, your parents should not invade your privacy of conscience. That's between you, God, and your confessor. And if I were your parent, okay, I noticed you didn't go to communion. If I were your parent, okay, if you want, we can go to confession tomorrow. I'll go before you, Mom will go, and then you can go. Give a good example, too. That's what I would do. I noticed you didn't go to communion. I'm not going to say anything more than that, but tomorrow, we'll go to confession. Those are good parents. I would, you know, within 24 hours, because we don't want to be living in mortal sin, right? You might live to be 80, you might live to be 13 and a half. Only God knows, right? We don't know. I mean, we could live another 50 years. We could live another 50 minutes. We don't know how well. We don't know we're going to die. And don't be presumptuous to say, well, my granny lived to be 90. I'll live to be 92 because I got good genes. What happens if you're in a car accident? Or a chola from Hawaiian Garden shoots and you don't duck in time? No? I mean, anything could happen, right? Or you choke on a fish bone and you forget to call out to St. Blaise. No? Okay, let's move on to the effects of confirmation. Jump down a little bit. Since each sacrament has a different purpose and power, they do not all have the same effects. A common factor in all the sacraments is the reception of grace, both sanctifying and actual. What is the specific effect or grace of the sacrament of the Eucharist, you know? Yeah, but what is the specific effect in your soul? Aisha? What bread is to the body, communion is to the soul. What does bread do? Does it nourish you? That's exactly what communion does. So the specific effect of communion is nourishment. It nourishes your soul. What is the specific effect of confession? What medicine is to the body, confession is to the soul. So it is healing. Got it? So they're all sacraments, but each sacrament communicates a different grace. Got that? Minister the sacrament. Confirmation ideally is administered by the local bishop, okay? Or his auxiliary, as a sign of unity between himself as the shepherd and us as the flock. In the event the local bishop is unable to reach all those to be confirmed, he may delegate the power to a priest. All the baptized are sons, and daughters of God. He's pacing nervously, waiting for his daughter, right, Frida? The phrase used to describe this fact is divine filiation. All confirmands, there's a new word for you, those are going to be confirmed, are expected to strive to act as Jesus would in every situation. The life of a committed Christian is not an easy one, nor should one expect it to be. Jesus reminded us of this fact when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." What might be a cross? Can you give me an example? Matthew? Giving soda. Yeah, that might be. That's a good sacrifice, especially if you like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have another one, Gabriel?
Like having to deal with a family member who's sick.
Good. Okay, say for example, you know, your grandmother gets sick and you have to watch over her. And she's got dialysis and her health is really weak. You got to take her to the doctor. You have to maybe prepare a meal for her. And that could be. What else? Okay, maybe, you know, your parents, they both lose their job and they're barely able to pay the bills. That could be a cross too, right? Or maybe one of your siblings is diagnosed with bipolar. You ever hear that? You know what bipolar is, Emily?
Mood swings?
What? Yeah, but it's kind of like a chemical imbalance in the person. He has to take medicine. But that's right, mood swing. Very happy and then very sad, kind of like a roller coaster up on the top, like Magic Mountain, go way up and then down in the dumps. No? That could be a cross. Or maybe you struggle to pass a certain thing at school. You know, you work hard, but there's one thing that's really difficult. We all have different crosses. Or maybe some people have doubts. I mean, the real presence, is that really Jesus in the host? Some people have doubts. I would think that would be terrible. I've never had that temptation yet. I hope I never have it, no? But I would think if I were tempted to doubt the real presence, I think I'd probably die. That'd be about the worst temptation. But some people have had that, no? Is that really God, or is it, that's just a piece of bread? No? Okay. Now, the Thérèse of Lisieux, you've heard of her, right? Known as the little flower, okay? Demonstrated a life lived in confidence and trust in her faith. Her willingness to, what? Trust in God for all things can be seen as a direct result of the strength and grace of the Holy Spirit acting within her. Confirmation gives us the what? Fortitude, okay? Same thing as strength. And we need to increase our faith, especially while we regularly partake of the sacraments offered to us. The conviction of the unity with Christ we receive and the confirmation provide the help we need to live as full members of the Catholic Church. Okay. Questions? Okay. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the church, each member receiving gifts that strengthened both the individual and the church as a whole. The apostles and all who received the Holy Spirit became brave individuals, unafraid to stand up for their new faith. Let's go down to number 3. Confirmation perfects the grace of what other sacrament? Baptism. Through the action of which divine person?
The Holy Spirit.
What does confirmation give us the strength to do? With the grace of the sacrament, we are able to spread and defend the teachings, of Christ and the Church. As the sacrament of initiation is connected to baptism and the Eucharist, what words are said during the laying on the hands and the rite of confirmation? There we have the words. Let's go down to the practical exercises. Many people disagree with certain things that the Church teaches are sinful. List 3 of these and explain what is wrong with them. Also come up with realistic situations in which the strength we receive in the sacrament confirmation would be needed to defend the Church's teachings. Well, why don't you put this? Teaching on very, very, very controversial is homosexuality. A lot of people don't agree with that. Well, the Church has always taught marriage should be between man and woman, right? Another would be that of the existence of hell. There are a lot of Catholics that don't want to believe that. Everyone's going to go to heaven. Okay, and also would be another one?
I think it's for abortion.
Okay, abortion. Some say, I as a woman have a right to my body. You've probably heard that one before. They're very common. They're lies, but they're used, okay? Okay, now, one of the most beautiful aspects of confirmation is becoming children of God. How are we children? How are we God's children? Okay, write down, we become God's children through baptism. And how can we become more like His children? Right, deeper prayer life. Become more like a deeper prayer life. Okay, because of her writings, or being a child of God, Saint Therese was made a doctor of the church, even though she died at the age of 24. Ask your spiritual director, pastor, teacher to recommend a good book on Saint Therese of Lisieux and divine filiation. Do any of you know the book that she wrote? Her autobiography? Okay, write down The Story of the Soul, okay? The Story of the Soul, that's her autobiography. Okay, have you done the attendance already?
Yes.
Great. Let's, Lauren, maybe you can say the closing prayer. I got to say Mass, okay? Then I'll see you next week, okay? Oh, I'm sorry, I took the wrong one. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone, maybe say the prayer with them, and I'll see you next week, okay?